I founded Dolce Suono Ensemble to make music with my friends, many of whom were my classmates at Curtis Institute of Music, and to play for the Philadelphia community that I grew up playing before, since age 12 when I first came to Curtis. So at the time, I was really busy as a soloist and chamber musician, which includes a lot of travel to other places. And it's kind of this dual thing where I love making music for new people all the time around the world, but I have a very special relationship that I treasure with Philadelphia audiences. Dolce Suono Ensemble kind of was founded a little bit like a repertory theater company in that we have a cast of characters. My friends and I have been playing together sometimes for a dozen years. Pianist Charles Abramovic and I have been a duo for about 11 years and recorded several CDs. And we kind of form into different ensemble configurations depending on the repertoire we're playing. One of our main ensembles is the trio of flute, cello, and piano with Yumi Kendall and Charlie Abramovic. We do music with flute, strings, and harp. We've been very active lately commissioning works for Pierrot Ensemble, which is a mixed grouping of flute, clarinet, violin, cello, piano, and percussion. It's kind of what we call an ensemble that was developed by Arnold Schoenberg in his work Pierrot Lunaire. And we performed this work with Lucy Shelton. It's one of her signature roles this past season. And it was a very innovative grouping that Schoenberg devised in 1912. So it was just the centennial, actually, of this important work. But many composers after him took the combination and wrote for it. And it's flute, clarinet, violin, cello, and piano for Schoenberg with voice, and for many composers today, with or without voice, but plus percussion.
Would you say you had a core, very first time you played music together, said, okay, we'll start with this, and then we'll just, yeah, and then expand?
It's a core of players, but it's always been flexible. So on what it is, we usually do four or five programs, more like five, on the home series in Philadelphia, Dolce Suono Ensemble Presents. And then some of those ensembles are the most active for touring to other presenters.
What drives your programming? Is it repertoire?
What I love about what we do, and I think it's what sets us apart, is that we cover all repertoire from Baroque through contemporary, and often what unites a very wide-ranging season or even program is some theme that is sometimes musical or sometimes extra musical, because part of what's important to me as a musician but also as a historian, because that's my second life, was doing a master's in history at University of Pennsylvania, where I'm also ABD, all but dissertation on the PhD, is the idea of setting music in its broadest cultural context. So we can explore Baroque trio sonatas looking at all of Europe and the kind of history going on at the time. We will often pick a composer that's having a major anniversary, such as Mahler 100 Schoenberg 60 project with 1911 as the focal point of Mahler's death, and then the centennial, and then the 60th anniversary of Schoenberg's death in 1951. And look at these two titans of music very closely connected, and then commissioning new works reflecting on them to show how fertile this music is today. So that's the kind of theme that would often unite our programs.
You're very interested in the historical context and the cultural context. What does that add? Why do you think it's important?
I think it's part of an approach to the world and to society, is not seeing every piece of music or every composer or even every musical style in a vacuum. You know, just like real life, it's part of this rich tapestry of music, visual art, culture, the world of ideas. I think it always enhances our performance to be approaching music on many different levels, from the most micro, what am I going to do with that note or that phrase, to the most grand, sweeping, what is the context of Debussy, and what do we want to say about that?
Dolce Suono challenges people's expectations, mm-hmm, who just think chamber music and think a certain combination and a certain sound.
Well, I think one of the hallmarks of the way we make music has to do with our innovative programming. based on a theme or a broad cultural idea in addition to the music. But I think it's also the very dynamic feeling that we have on stage. I think there's something really special that happens when you make music with your friends, with people you've been playing with for a dozen years even, and you've really grown together as musicians. I think the excitement and friendship that we feel on stage is something that I hear about from our audience a lot, that they feel excited by that dynamic and it means something to them, and that's really gratifying.
It sounds like you find the chamber ensemble a great vehicle for innovation.
Yes. I mean, as a flute soloist and chamber musician, I love doing recitals, doing concertos, and playing in small groups. I think you can, as a musician, just have these really exciting, intimate relationships with other musicians on stage, people you know really well. You can create music through spontaneity. You can build the repertoire through commissioning, which is something really important to me as a flutist and to Dolce Suono Ensemble as an ensemble. For example, Charlie Abramovic and I recorded 2 CDs worth of music on Odyssey, 11 American premieres for flute and piano, which was released by Innova Recordings. So I think in my own musical life, chamber music adds both a lot of exciting connections with other players and also the possibility to build the repertoire.
What do you hope for the future for the group?
That is the question, isn't it? I think what's exciting is that from where we started, Dolce Suono Ensemble has taken me to places I never dreamed of, musically and in terms of just this professional excitement of launching projects in Philadelphia and then taking them on the road. So it's really, in the future, kind of change as well as continuity, keeping this programming focus, keeping commissioning going, and taking it to ever wider audiences.
And have your ideas about what to do changed?
Well, I cherish the relationship with our audiences, and Dolce Suono emerged in many ways from just my appreciation for the fact that people in Philadelphia, in this community, would come and hear me wherever I play in the area, and we want to make music for them, for this home audience, which we've built over the years, and I think formally or informally, feedback from the audience is really important in terms of planning future projects. I think it's kind of a symbiotic relationship in that you can count on your closest audience members being there, and you can push the envelope programmatically, but also in each direction you push it, there's a niche of people who might love it and be untapped and then maybe want to join the fold of your core audience.
Is there anything that surprised you in this musical journey? Or
what surprises me or just what I have to keep in mind is not to have preconceived notions when you go to program. You know, start with an idea that we in the group feel very convinced about and bring it out there. Don't think that people are either not going to like it or going to think it's too adventurous or not. You never know. You could play the thorniest new music and have people really excited about it. By the same token, you can get a huge energetic vibe going with pulsating Baroque excitement.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.